Hello and welcome to another episode of the Never a Straight Answer podcast, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm your host Gaz, and joining me in the studio, well, the Project Bloombeam guys tried to simulate a holographic Taylor, but even the puppet masters couldn't handle that level of bizarreness. Yeah, all I can say is he's my co-host, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome indeed to another excellent episode of the Never a Straight Answer podcast. I hope you're ready to have your brain fried.
Oh, yes.
And subliminal thoughts to be beamed directly into your mind.
Ooh.
So that's kind of that type of show.
It is.
This week, we've got an excellent episode coming up.
We have, indeed.
And thanks to you for joining us, whether you're a new listener or a repeat offender.
Keep offending.
Well, hey, on this week's show.
Yeah.
Project Bluebeam revisited.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy theory that claims that NASA is attempting to sort of bring on a new age religion with the Antichrist at the head.
Ooh,
and start a new world order using technology, simulations, and the second coming of Christ.
Yes.
Oh my God, it's got everything, this.
Yes.
I do remember us talking about this.
Yeah.
This conspiracy surfaced in 1994, but we'll be going on and having a look a bit later on in the show.
Oh yeah.
At all of that weird gubbins.
And more.
I mean, Project Bluebeam, we have talked about.
We have, yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that people are pointing fingers saying, Project Bluebeam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, with this stuff, so.
And especially around now at the minute, it's going to be one of them topics that we're going to be talking, the next couple of months, people are going to be talking about.
Do you reckon?
All right, okay.
Well, we'll keep on it. But, like, you know, we've got all that coming up in the show.
And more.
Firstly, though, what have you been up to this week, Mr. Taylor?
Mate, just chilling out, mate. You know what I mean?
Chilling out,
looking into...
Well, it's been a bit of a hectic week, to be honest. But, I mean, you say chilling out, but we only recorded the last episode a couple of days ago.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Because we were
true.
Kind of falling behind. But, I mean, how are you recovering? Because I know you went and had some dental work, didn't you?
Yeah. It's not been too bad. I had a couple of days where it was really sore, but... It's getting there. It's fixing itself. I can
sorted. Good stuff. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're on the mend. There's nothing worse than toothache and stuff like that.
To be honest, I think I infected it a little bit, so then I had to do some stuff to disinfect it.
Because you got. Do you know what they say? Don't they? You've got to be really kind of careful once you have like teeth out and stuff that you don't get
open
dry
wounds,
socket,
man. Yeah,
or whatever they call it. Do you know what I mean? So no smoking, no like the certain foods you've got to avoid.
I know. Have dentists ever met a smoker before?
Why?
They say don't smoke for 24 hours. It was like, what?
I know, but it's like when the doctor says don't eat for, before. And you're like, what? I'm hungry, man.
Well, but you could get past that. You know what I mean? But smoking, it's an addiction, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. But, you've just been relaxing, chilling out
this week. Yeah, just looking at... new things and trying to go back to old projects as well and trying to find some more information on
sometimes it's worth putting things down.
Yeah,
do you know, if you've got a project, you start a project and you think, oh, do you know what, like, you know, I've come to a point with this. It's nice to just kind of step back and go, all right, I'm gonna have a minute.
Totally.
Come back with fresh eyes and you're on it. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. It's the same with the news at the minute. I've not been watching it for like at least the last 3 months.
Every now and again, I watch.
I've missed it, but in the kind of way, I'm already knowing the information, what I want to know. I don't need all the bullshit.
A lot of the time, the mainstream media is kind of very biased anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So,
you know,
totally.
Whether you want to kind of take all your news from mainstream or kind of take it as a guideline and then go and do your own research.
Yeah.
It's probably the best bet.
Yeah, that's probably your best bet. What have you been up to?
A quiet week. I've been trying to, like, do you know what? When your sleep patterns are all over the place and you're just kind of like, you're not getting enough rest.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting kind of like, take on too much, me. So, like, I've been kind of getting a bit too kind of like bogged down with stuff. So I needed to just take a couple of days off to kind of
chill,
just...
chill, pill, have a break, have a Kit Kat.
Not even have a break. Kind of catch up on stuff, but also kind of just get back into a place where you're kind of like, right, okay, I know exactly where I'm up to now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I've been doing that, and just really had a nice week, to be honest. It's been quite a lovely week. And as well, we've recording and doing bits, but also designed another couple of t-shirts. There's a new t-shirt on the Hive Mind site.
Oh, sweet.
So go and check those out. Then, there is a link in on that. I think there's a link somewhere.
Yeah.
Don't know. Might put it in the description. Go and check that out. This is another alien themed t-shirt as well. So go have a look. It's awesome. Before we carry on with the Project Bluebeam stuff, my very clear voice. Because this week's episode is brought to you in part by Magic Mind.
Yeah.
Magic Mind are an amazing productivity supplement. So, say goodbye to all those kind of slumps, you know, caffeine crashes and whatnot.
Yeah, I hate them.
Because Magic Mind's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's basically real good stuff.
It uses nootropics and botanicals to kind of bring you all the natural ingredients that will elevate your productivity,
make you feel good,
get you kind of sort of get rid of that brain fog, stuff like that. It's really good. We've been using it for a while now. I've actually really found that it does have a great sort of
uniqueness to it.
So, I mean, it comes in a nice little handy bottle.
It does.
As well. So, if you're on the go, if you're doing a project or you've got a study for exams or anything like that,
bam,
then it's perfect because you can kind of have it in your bag.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, generally get that productivity hit as and when you need it.
Yeah. So, I'd say at the beginning of the day, try one and see how your day goes.
Oh, 100%. And then this is the thing. It's like one of those products that, you know, it does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
It says that it's going to give you a boost of kind of productivity. It definitely does. Anybody who's looking to boost their productivity and tired of those midday slumps, struggling to stay focused and energized, well, you know, unlock a new level of productivity. Right. Our sponsor today is Magic Mind for the ultimate productivity supplement. They've got an excellent offer going on this January.
They have.
Where works out even kind of coming up to 75% off in some ways if you take full advantage of the discount codes and the links.
Yeah.
But they've also got a great offer where it's if you subscribe for 3 months, you'll get a month free.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Excellent.
Good deal.
Try it and see how much your productivity gets a boost with Magic Mind.
Definitely worth the trial.
There will be a link in the description, and you can save by using the code NSA20 in the checkout.
You can.
Wicked.
Do it now.
Honestly, the guys over at Magic Mind as well, they're so nice.
Yes.
Really, really enjoyed collabing with them.
Yes.
And, hopefully you'll go out and check Magic Mind today.
Yeah.
Do check the link in the description.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Thank you. Magic Mind is one of those products that I love.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those ones that, you know, it tastes nice. It does, what it does on the tin. So I'm really pleased that we've had opportunity to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely going to continue with that, I think at some point.
Same here. Yeah, I've got some in the fridge now.
Yeah, you've got some in the fridge now.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, going into the rest of the show. So we've been talking Project Bluebeam. So we first came across this Project Bluebeam a while ago, and it was one of those where it was I wasn't sure whether they were, because when I first heard about it was the idea of replanting sort of this new age religion, this sort of kind of idea that we could be brainwashed by technology to believe that God was speaking to us, basically. I was explained to it that was that there would be a religious figure from every religion beamed to you personally, speaking personally to you. And it'd give you the impression that, you know, this was a religious experience, right? But obviously over the years, the conspiracy theory has developed and sort of evolved.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
The idea behind the reason why kind of it's cropped up in my mind recently is the events that happened at the Miami Mall.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's
the idea that these kids came out, and I think we mentioned it, using a device and creating portals and stuff like that. And it got me thinking, is this kind of like, you know, them a psyop or something? Are they trying to bamboozle us by staging this event to try and kind of make us think something? And obviously we'll all jump to that one conclusion.
Yeah.
It's aliens, or we're the hair and all the rest of it. But was there a real actual point to it? Yeah, right. And this is what kind of got me thinking, is it related Bluebeam and all this? So when you were saying, do you want to talk about Project Bluebeam? I was like, yeah, okay, we can do.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it was a conspiracy theory that kind of surfaced early 1990s, 1994, according to some of the articles that I've read. But they say that, and most of them say that this project has four steps.
Yeah.
Around four steps, okay.
Well, so, it come from a book. Originally, there was a novel by Jen Roldenberry. But then someone wrote a book, Sarge Monster.
Yeah, yeah, a Canadian journalist.
Yeah, yeah. And he wrote a book, and basically stuff that had been put in that book had been coming out a little bit by bit. There was
finding similarities within the writings of this book and any of the articles that were coming out on the conspiracy theory, that these things were starting to surface as actually happening.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go through the steps if you want. The first step involves the breakdown of archaeological knowledge
and religion. Right?
So, well, we'll get into that. Religion comes a little bit later, but like basically, archaeological knowledge, first of all, by discrediting it, this kind of like, you know, makes it easier to kind of like poo-poo religion a bit further down the line.
Yeah, yeah.
But by staging faked sort of, you know, natural disasters such as earthquakes and, you know, like, you know, anything like that, that would suddenly reveal ancient artifacts that basically
data is in a different direction.
Yeah, they say, oh, well, actually puts a sort of spanner in the works of our current way of thinking, makes us think, well, actually, no, this can't be true because we've been told that we've been on this planet X amount of time when it actually contradicts that.
Yeah.
And now that there's something that's come out that's kind of shifted everything, religion, what we know about history, the idea that we've been on this planet for so many years, and everything can be called into question by these certain discoveries that are going to be made.
Yeah, and the crisis has already started.
Makes me think, because, you know, obviously I follow the Curse of Oak Island.
Yes,
right?
you do.
Now they're, you know, digging and, you know, trying to scratch around, trying to find artifacts that they consider to be religious.
Yep.
They think that there could be some religious artifacts down there. So I've always had it in the back of my mind that is this one of these fake discoveries that they're planning on? Like, I watch with bated breath. I want to see if they find anything.
Video 14,
I'm hoping
was it?
That it was the Ark of the Covenant or something like that. But at the end of the day, if it is something like that, and it does throw into, you know, disrepute what we know about history and religion, then isn't that exactly what this is suggesting?
Well, yeah, but then...
They haven't found anything that like that yet, but they do suggest that stuff could be at the bottom of this hole.
But then one of the videos not turn up, one.
You
14.
Always bring this up.
Yeah, because
but,
it
yeah,
is
but
a...
it's like that was 15 seasons ago.
It's still, it's a part of the history of it. And
yeah, I know, but it's the only thing, it's like the only thing you know about it.
Well, I watch.
You should watch it. It's great.
I've watched the first couple of series, and then I leaned away.
No, well, what he's talking about is there was an episode that just suddenly disappeared. So there was, do you know when they do the air dates?
Yeah.
On episodes, so like they give you a breakdown of what episodes are due out, what episodes the titles of the episodes are,
mm-hmm.
and when they're likely to come out, right? So I follow these things because obviously I'm like, they don't list it in TV guides.
No.
So you kind of like, right,
I've seen the TV guide for years.
When's this show coming out? I Google search it and it comes up with, you've got 15 episodes over this year, like, and I'm looking and it gets to the episode that I'm waiting for, episode 14.
Mm-hmm.
And it's named something like, I can't remember what the name was exactly, but it's got, you know, it's named and everything, yeah, and it's due out on this certain date. Mm-hmm. But then the date arrives and the episode never airs. I go back on the air dates and it swapped it around, so now 15's 14 and that never existed.
Yeah.
So it's like made me wonder, and this is what I kind of brought up to you, and I think this is what you are bringing up to me now.
Yeah, is that
there was an episode that just disappeared, but did they find something and they were closed down on it? Was it just a specifically boring episode? Or what? I don't know. Was it just kind of like time restraints where they said, well, we can actually only air 14 out of the 15?
Yeah, what was wrong with them turning around and saying something about it?
Where's that missing? You know, but like the point being is, if they'll do that with bloody, like, you know, an episode of a show, but like, you know, with history, it's like
blindsided all
hiding history or repressing history, because stuff like that already comes out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we go on about like this Project Bluebeam being like, this is what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Is trying to make us believe that we've been here less time or longer or whatever, right? Yeah. Whatever they're trying to, their agenda is or the narrative is. But we're already finding evidence of things that already contradict.
True.
Yeah. And the churches, major archaeological kind of societies will kind of go, oh, well, it's interesting. We'll put it in a drawer and let's pretend we never found any of that.
Yeah,
because it does contradict what the fucking story we're selling. Yeah,
all of our history is in the Vatican and they will not let it go.
So, I mean, I don't know. So, but breaking down archaeological knowledge, this will kind of like, you know, be accompanied with by fake earthquakes and stuff to kind of release this stuff.
Yeah.
But it'll also kind of like specifically, fundamentally kind of, you know, find errors in religious documents such as Christianity and Muslim doctrines.
We're always questioning them, aren't we? Realistically.
Well, this is what Project Bluebeam's saying anyway. Yeah. The second phase, or the second step, involves a gigantic space show. Now, this is a new bit. I mean, in terms of modern, I didn't think this was involved last time.
Mm.
Yeah, but the space show, you know, this will be kind of whether the three-dimensional holographic laser projections or beam from another planet or wherever, beam from the moon, or who knows, satellites.
UFOs, apparently.
God
UFOs
knows.
Are being...
Well, yeah, that's what they're going to...
Project Bluebeam.
Well, sorry?
As in just UFOs, you know, flying pie.
You think that they could be possibly projections?
Trying to work out which would be, you know, the most photographic or the most realistic, you know, spaceship that they can come up with.
Oh, so
that
do
we
you think that's
believe.
Why there's been more and more of them?
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
Because they're
trying
out different designs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, they'd beam these images all over the planet using the Bluebeam technology, but when it really takes off is when the projections take the shape of whatever deity that you are kind of, you know, partial to, and then it'll speak in all languages. Yeah, but at the end of the light show, the gods will all merge into one god, which they say would be the Antichrist, right?
Yes.
The third step is telepathic two-way communication. Right, this involves making people think that God is actually speaking to them directly. Yeah,
yeah, which we're
through
nearly
telepathic
there.
Projections.
I'd say we're nearly there, to be honest.
So, what
the technology
do you think we can do that? I mean, we did a story a while back about how they were able to kind of pull thoughts out of people's heads.
Mm.
So, where do you think we are in kind of terms of putting thoughts into people's heads?
They use it all the time. They have radio. They have your phone. They have TV. They have even quieter noise that you won't even hear in your own set, but your body will feel it. So they're already using all this psyops, basically, all this psyops stuff, all around. I mean, I only just I've been talking about the film. What was it? Leave the Earth Behind.
Okay.
Well, I actually watched it all last night, and a part of it was that there was a sound. Now, you know that boom sound that we've been hearing around the world for the last like 5-10 years, something like that. There was like a sound within the film. It was a part of the film, which is, supposedly Obama had actually paid and produced it.
Okay.
A part of it. Also, if you, a couple of years ago, if you remember, they were using microwaves to test about, you know, keeping kids away from shops and stuff like that. But the adults couldn't hear the noise, but the kids could.
Yeah,
they were bringing these like outside.
They were basically called
stingrays or something.
No, they were like kind of mosquitoes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And yet you've got also where embassy workers and other workers have been all of a sudden fell ill because they've been some kind of X-ray or a ray has been targeting them.
Yeah, so you think they'll be using like low frequency, like LF?
Yeah, they're already using it now.
Radio waves.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe. The fourth step in Project Bluebeam involves universal spiritual or supernatural manifestations.
Yes.
So this could be ghosts. I don't know.
The invasion.
Well, one of the first. One of to make mankind believe in alien invasions would occur in a major city in order to provoke, you know, another major nation fucking getting involved.
Outbreak.
So they might even kind of provoke a nation to have a nuclear war in that way. In order to, or provoke them in a way, religious way, to get them to strike in a nuclear strike or strike back. This way, the United Nations courts will require that all the nations will launch nuclear weapons to be disarmed. The invasion will show that this had been false. This is what I'm reading here, sorry.
Yeah.
But the second part of it will be to make Christians believe that the rapture is going to occur. With divine intervention, but then with divine intervention from an alien. Civilization or an off-world civilization coming to recruit Earthlings they'll save us apparently with the goal to dispose of all significant opposition of the world new world order would then start up to try and kind of protect us from that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy. This will all take place within hours of the beginning of the Sky Show.
Right.
So, like, it'll all move pretty quick, they reckon. The third operation in the fourth step is a mixture of electronic and supernatural forces. The wave that uses a supernatural force to travel through optical fibers or is it coaxial cables or TV, basically. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So, anything with an electrical or a phone line.
We'll show you either summit or turn everything off.
And actually show you stuff so that everyone...
Yeah, I would say so, but eventually turn it all off. So you're electric, you've got no power then. They will have all the power.
Yeah, so they'll enable chips within the already technology that we've got.
Yeah.
Which will already be in place. The goal is to deal with global satanic ghosts projected around the world in order to push people and the populations to the edge of hysteria and madness.
It's this hysteria. That's what they will.
I said ghosts. People are seeing ghosts though a lot. More ghost sightings
more
as well.
UFO sightings as well. There seems to be a lot more going on. Like 5 years ago, it's up the ante. You know what I mean? It keeps upping the ante at the moment, and I think it's one of them things because Project Bluebeam for the last couple of months has been quite a bit of talk about something happening about that.
Well, this is it because driving people to fucking madness. But I feel like there's a lot of that you know, and I don't know if that's people just doing it to themselves in some ways. Do you know what I mean? When the when you grasp onto a conspiracy theory and you go down rabbit holes, and it gets to the point where you're kind of like obsessed with things.
Yeah,
you know,
that's,
maybe
that's step back.
Yeah,
that,
step
then.
Back from
yeah,
that.
Step back. For a
the journalist who you know came up with the conspiracy theory for Project Bluebeam, though.
Yeah.
He said that there would be attempts on it in 1996, 2000, 2012, but none of these dates came true.
As far as we know.
He also claimed that another unnamed journalist were being hunted by authorities for exposing the truth about Project Bluebeam. But then he died, Monstat, the Canadian guy, died of a heart attack at home in 1996.
Yes.
Which some conspiracy theories attribute to murder and something to do with his allegations. Do you know what I mean?
Well, surprisingly enough, in that book, the people who've read it, I haven't read it, I kind of want to read it now, but in that book, it actually stated about COVID-19 and what had happened with the pandemic. Because apparently one of the effects, like, you know, because now they've got control of you. They've got control of you. They've put you in your house and asked you not to leave and you've obeyed. And then they give you something that they said was harmless. There was people out there saying it is harmless, it will hurt you, but majority of people took it anyway, because obviously a lot of people trust the government. But now the switch is that actually we're finding out we shouldn't have been trusting them in the first place.
Yeah. So hang on, he's saying here that although allegations were presented in 1994, people have been actually implying the idea of Project Bluebeam since 1983.
Yes. Well,
obviously it didn't happen. Yeah. Obviously there's been many dates since that people have said that it was going to happen. But it actually
supposedly has started off from?
Go on.
It was Van Braun, NASA, because the story goes NASA and the UN joined together as the New World Order to do all these effects of the Project Bluebeam. But Van Braun's deathbed, who was a part of Project Paperclip, who actually come over, he was a Nazi scientist who actually come over to America out of 1,600 of them, and was in charge of the rockets that actually got us up into space. On his deathbed, he stated to his secretary, who has written down I can't remember what it's called now. But she stated, basically, that the last part of this operation of the New World Order is the space invasion.
Well, I've got an article here going, by a guy called David Oppenheimer. What is the Bluebeam Project, he asks? He says basically involves two things. It's a technology simulated. I'll have to kind of find when this article.
He's the guy who did the nuclear weapons.
No, that's Oppenheimer. He's basically saying this is almost like the new Montauk type project. Where basically, he's asking this question here. So, does this have the ability, with it being like a second coming situation and a rapture?
Yeah,
you know, he puts the idea of a group of people, whole bunch of people, being sort of swept off in a rapture sort of situation, whisked away.
Yeah, in the
sky. Do you know what I mean? Like, where are these people going to be going? Do you know what I mean?
Prison.
If it is a government project and they're just going to whisk a load of people off.
Nuthouse, innit? And send them to Nuthouse.
Maybe that's what that big hotel's for.
Maybe they're the ones that they want to keep as slaves and get rid of the rest of us.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. You never know. You never know with these things. So what do you think, this is more of a reality now than it has been over since the early 80s when it was kind of first suggested?
Because more information, basically. There's more information coming out. There's a lot more weirder stuff that even I think was like, that, you know. But there's witnesses, you know what I mean? And it's a case of, like, just a lot of stuff that I heard back then, I'm hearing now, and being portrayed of people who've said stuff is coming true.
Uses people's kind of already beliefs as well, which is quite a dangerous thing, do you know what I mean? Because it's already kind of like, people in the Christian faith are waiting for that rapture, or if they believe in it, they will, they're hoping that that thing does happen to get sent to eternal fucking heaven and all the rest of it, right? So kind of like using that as a weapon, you know, that wish fulfillment, that sort of universal fulfillment of a prophecy, do you know what I mean? That kind of like, you know, that's harsh. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But don't forget, churches in the past were like, you know, that's where you sent your money. You know what I mean? A lot of money went into the churches. The churches had a lot of wealth.
All right. So there's holes in this, though, where I can see it, right? Yeah. So not everyone's religious.
No,
everybody is religious, right? Yeah, so the idea that this kind of, like, thing's going to morph into my God.
But then I think they might show aliens on that front, because then it'd be like, right, well, you're not religious, but you're more scientific, looking for something.
Yeah, but that's what they're saying. No matter what, if it's aliens or a religious icon,
they're all going to merge
into this one God, or the Antichrist anyway.
Mega God,
So regardless of whether you see aliens or whatever, they're all going to just be like, surprise, it's me. Well, we weren't expecting that, and that you're not the guy we've been voting for all this time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But do you think we've got the capabilities of doing it now?
And why? And that everybody would just simply go, oh, all right then. Do you know what I mean? No matter how much sort of beaming into your brain that you do or making me see something, a lot of people, you know, people are arrogant and people are ignorant, So it's like, you know, even if you show me a thing, they'll go, don't believe you. Do you know what I mean? There's always going to be somebody who says, I don't buy it. And that's going to be the downfall in the project or in the plan.
Yeah, because there's too many sheeps, not enough lions, to be honest.
Fair.
But you know what I mean? It's like, a lot of people give up within the first stroke, and it's like, you know, get out there, learn it. You know what I mean? See if it's true or not. You know, try and find out if you're interested in it. If not, you know,
because it says here, the various images of Christ, Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, etc., will all merge into one after the correct explanation of the mystery, the prophets, and the disclosure. Story. This one God will then function as the Antichrist, who will then explain that various scriptures have been misunderstood, that religion of the old are responsible for turning brothers against brother, and we need to kind of go into the new golden age.
Book of Enoch.
The new age, apparently, with one God. And therefore, that God, apparently the devil, the Antichrist guy.
If you think about it, Book of Enoch, of like the angels coming, falling back to earth, like we're starting it all over again. We're going to get rid of the warrior or the bad people, then bring you together.
It's all just a little bit of history.
Because it's quite, I've been noticing quite a lot about, I was watching actually someone who was going through a bunch of stuff about, you know, like Christmas and Jesus. Are we on the right side? Is it actually devil worshipping? Because, like, you know, the Moloch that I always talk about, the one who created evil.
What? So
he was born on Christmas Day, and the Christmas tree actually was put as his cock.
Yeah, oh, right. But the thing with those things is, like, we've just kind of taken bits and pieces from all different
to we've
make
only been
it
given.
Palatable for everybody. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We were, as businesses, it's turned Christmas from, you know, a religious thing to a commercial thing. Yeah. And it's like, so
everything,
the idea of the Christmas tree, you could explain that in about 15 different ways, do you know what I mean, of where it comes from, the symbolism behind it. Yeah. But it's the idea that, you know, the story of Jesus, the star and all the details from the birth of Jesus story predate Jesus.
Yeah,
that story
predates
Jesus loads. That story comes up so much.
Egypt, India.
In all different religion and religious texts. But yet we are focused on this one God. But yet in obviously in Egypt, in different sort of fucking time periods, there was all manner of gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for different reasons, do you know what I mean?
Like,
but the idea that, you know...
Well, he did it, didn't he?
Wow. I just think God's, like, calling something God is giving it a name that's kind of like you saying, oh, my God is this God and you're all wrong.
I think he's doing exactly what Ra, they're doing what Ra did. I think it was Ra, which he supposedly went away, he come back... And he got rid of all the gods bar one, the sun god.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
the only god that was there. So, in effect, history is repeating itself.
Well, kind of, yeah. Because if that's what happened, he went, well,
2,000 years ago.
Yeah, but he didn't merge into what... Well, he might have said that. He could have turned around and said, yeah, all of those gods are now me.
Well, no, he basically banned every single god.
But
and
banning
one
gods
god.
Banning a god doesn't make it not there anymore.
That's true.
If you want to worship that god, even you say you've banned it, well, I'm still going to worship him. So fuck you.
Yeah,
you
but
can't
back
really
in the day,
me,
you'll get your egg chopped off for
just do
you
it
know,
in private.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like you cannot
underground. That's what makes
ban
underground
a religion,
with stuff.
But by saying. Nah, your religion's not gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been...
Changed a
we're
little.
We're just basically filling in the gaps of where you got it wrong. And now, guess what? Your God and that God were all the same guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which probably was the case anyway, but because we kind of like started giving it names. And you, in your country, have gone, well, we interpret... these things as this and we're correct, and them guys in that country go, well, no, we believe this and we're correct. That's when the fucking brother
wars
versus
and,
brother shit starts, right? It's arguing about who's right, and that's not what the teaching of
need,
all that's supposed to be about, is
exactly.
it? I'm not even religious and I know that.
it was there for peace, and you know, like law and order, you know, keep everyone
so
together.
So how do we know that
neighbor.
There wasn't like just one anyway, right? And we've all just misinterpreted it and called
and
it a variety of different things.
Yeah, it's true.
But again, I'm not a religious person, so you know, is this what this Project Bluebeam is trying to do to get a kind of full
it's a
control?
Nerve, doesn't it, really?
I mean,
strong.
Would it be a bad thing?
What? Well, to be honest, to get everyone together? No, not really.
No.
I think it'd be a good thing. But
to be honest,
the bad thing will be what will the order will be. We won't have our rights. We'll lose a lot
know,
of stuff,
though?
And we will gain stuff that we probably won't.
Hang
want.
On, right? Yeah, like right. Okay, so these bigger fish here, right? Yeah. Rights and stuff like that. So your deity, the god of gods comes down and says, you were all wrong. I mean, this is in a reality where this is actually happening, by the way.
This is a different multiverse,
right? Yeah. But imagine this is actually happening. God comes down and says to you, don't worry, my children. You're going to be totally looked after. Yeah, all the rest of it, like you'd think the god would. You're going to then turn around and go, whoa, what about my rights?
Well, hold on. How many times has people, a country, been told, we are doing this for you and totally the opposite?
Yeah, but I mean, it's higher.
Just
because
it says it does.
It's a higher being.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not evil.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
It will have, for all we know, like Jupiter, the film, like we're like cattle farm.
Well, this,
you know
the,
what I mean?
Project Bluebeam saying that this it would be kind of like portrayed as evil anyway. I mean, it would be the Antichrist, but not God. But what I'm getting at is...
And the New World Order are the ones who are going to be behind it.
Well,
so
this backs up what I'm saying here earlier, because regardless of whether this happened or not, they'd always be met with a level of skepticism. There'd be always people who would go, whoa, I don't buy it.
Thankfully.
Yeah. And
thankfully.
Oh yeah, but yet again, you know, they could be wrong. I mean, it could be fucking legit, and this is like, we're going to save you all, take you to a better place, we're going to make sure that none of this war shit ever happens, don't you worry about it, it's in God's hands, right? But them skeptics are going to go, no, I don't believe it.
What God is it? Whose God is it? Is it evil God? Is it a good God?
Well, no, I feel like you'd have all those questions, everybody would have those questions, but if if you were to receive this telepathic message that kind of clarified it all, like,
I still won't buy it.
And you came out of it, this trance, and went, I understand now.
I've been fucked with again.
Well, how do you know that? Well, what happens if you hear what they have to say and you do kind of feel like, actually?
If I do, fair enough. I'll be honest. I will try and go against it.
Because, but that's human nature.
Yeah, I will try and go against it. And as I think I've proved myself up to now, I am going against it. So I am.
How do you know?
I have got the strength to do that.
How do you know?
Because I'm learning stuff that, like years ago, I would not be into I'd be into the UFOs and that, but I wouldn't be into other stuff like my rights and, like, you know.
Yeah, but isn't that more kind of like your earthly realm? That's what I'm getting at. It's like, you know, in terms of, like, religion and stuff like that, yeah, right, it's, and if this was going to happen, something like this, where it was kind of like,
Pushed upon you,
and you're supposed to feel or think a certain way after it, like an awakening. Yeah,
I can't see.
It's like knowing about your rights and stuff like that. It's like that's
all
gone,
I need
to
know
stuff.
That I'm going to be all right, and everyone around me is as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, like, you know, in, you know, if I was being visited by, like, this supposedly,
yeah, but you're living on a promise.
Yeah, no, but right. So this is what I'm saying. This technology would have to be so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. To make me, not only see something and believe it, but hear it and believe it, and have my opinion changed in a heartbeat. Because the idea that they could put a thought into my head and say, "Don't worry, my son. With this, I'm going to explain it all to you now," and then you come out with this sort of imagined, you know, like when you die, or like when people who've had near-death experiences have these experiences, and they say, "I just felt at peace," or "I felt all right. I knew that everyone was going to be all right, and I knew that everything was at peace now." Yeah, right. If you came out of that trance in that sort of mind-altered state, whether you've been drugged, or had your mind altered in a way that's making you think that. You know, is it too late by that point that you've gone, "Oh, well, I've been brainwashed now"? Do you know what I mean? This is what I'm saying. If you,
well, this is
if
where you I think are, I
if this, if this Project Bluebeam thing were to actually happen, and they were able to force all these waves and technologies on you that made you believe and think and see all these different things, how do you know that you wouldn't be like everybody else and just go, "Wow, okay, I buy it"?
I don't, but there are a lot of people who don't care, who've got their eyes shut, and not even when you start mentioning stuff, they don't even want to know, and it's a case of, right, so you don't really care, so they're the subjects, are the ones who are going to be going, "Yeah, we'll follow you."
Maybe.
Well, those who've been down the rabbit hole had a look and disgusted on what they've seen, and surprised, and, you know, enjoy some of its enjoyment in seeing this stuff. They're the ones who are more than likely, after they've seen what they needed to see, be more enlightenment of what's actually out there, what's actually occurring, instead of guessing this is how it is. Find out to see if it is, because a lot of stuff's been lied to us, and there's still a lot of people out there who've still got their eyes closed, and it's like, we're not doing it for just us, we're doing it for the benefits of you as well. You know what I mean? We're giving you info to go, like, open your eyes, you know, like, you could have a better life.
Yeah.
Or we could all.
This is it. I mean, and the thing is, like, you know, whether humanity believes in this stuff, or, you know, whether they're ready to kind of pushed a new messiah onto him.
Yeah.
You know,
it's supposedly coming.
Well, whether that is at the cost of freedom, or, you know, your own free will, then who knows? But we'll find out. If it ever happens, it's you know, like I say, they forecast it for a fair few dates and it's never happened. Who knows? Is the technology finally catching up where there'll be some diabolical motherfucker out there who'll give it a go.
I'm going to go on the limit.
Because, do you know the Spider-Man movie, one of the last Spider-Man with Mysterio?
Yeah.
Yeah. they kind of use Project Bluebeam. That whole movie is Project Bluebeam. They're using drones to create hysteria and panic.
And everyone ran.
And people are seeing and hearing and visualize or witnessing monsters tearing up the city.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That is, you could argue, is Hollywood showing you in, you know, like, not predictive programming, but maybe, like, kind of putting it out there in clear view, like, check what we're going to do.
Well, you could argue that NASA have been doing it for the space launches and spacecrafts and, like,
we've never actually landed there.
They've
been sending up holograms.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, you know what I mean? But I'm going out on a limb. I will say, something's going to happen in the next 2 years, and then I will say by 2030 it would have happened.
Oh, but they've heard it here first, guys. Yeah. Prophecy Taylor is on it.
To be honest, yeah, and it's just the way everything's pointing at the minute. It's like I'm presuming, I'm predicting before 2030. I'm hope I'm wrong.
Okay, well, hopefully you are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, same here.
What do you guys think? If you've got any, if you want to kind of pitch in and give us your 2 cents on the topic, do you think Project Bluebeam is a thing? Do you think it would happen or could happen? What do you think you'd do in that situation?
Yeah.
If you were come across, like, you know, something being projected into the sky,
a ghost
or a ghost.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, a ghost, one of those things that, you know, it's like you see a ghost, you're not going to think the government's in on this.
Well, yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean?
But
like,
you're also
the fucking government.
You're also not going to think, that can't hit me. Well, you're going to think, oh,
it depends
shit.
If it starts throwing chairs about and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, that's
do you know
true.
What I mean? If it's poltergeisty.
Oh, that's a lot of work for scaring someone to.
That's
like,
a lot
think,
of technology,
yeah.
that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Individually. Well, we're going to shit up the population on a personal, individual level.
I suppose
send
could,
ghosts.
I suppose they could easily do it for, like, electrical stuff. So it could point at something like your TV and it blows up because it's been given a surge of electric.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Or your alarm clock or something like that.
Well,
possible.
We'd love to hear your theories and thoughts.
Oh,
Come and get involved. Send us an email at neverastraightanswer@gmail.com or neverastraightanswer@outlook.com. Either one.
Come along. Join the party.
Emails galore over here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, send us a message on the website or join us on social media and tell us exactly what you think.
Yeah.
Hey.
As long as it's nice.
Yeah, we've got some more stuff coming up.
We are.
In a moment. Well, we've got the news coming up. I think that's coming up a little bit, like, right now.
It is?
Well, I've got my hot chocolate.
You
now.
Have now, yes, you have. So yes, you were gagging for a hot chocolate.
So we can proceed with the news. It's the news! Oh, yes. This week's been it's been an interesting week in the news.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you want to put aside all the stories
of
wars and drama, which I do, to be honest.
To
you
be
know,
honest,
I can't be bothered with any of that today.
No.
So I'm coming up with some fucked up stories. But I found some really comedy ones this week, to be honest, yeah. First, I'm going to kick off this story with, I'd love this to happen to me, to be honest.
Would
I don't
you?
Know what that was. Oh, yeah, Audible. There is a link in the description.
There is. Yeah,
well,
good call,
that. Hey! Well, anyway, right, okay. Audible advert aside. Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, box office superstar nowadays.
Yeah.
Mr. Spider-Man.
Yes, yes.
Obviously gets big dough when it comes to his movie deals.
Yeah, of course.
And probably get some hefty bonuses as well. Well, Tom Holland's box office bonus for Marvel was sent to the wrong actor.
Oh, I'm running off of it.
It was sent to a Tom Hollander, by mistake. Oh, man, yeah. With the astonishing amount of money, which was a seven-figure sum.
Seven-figure
box. That's his bonus.
Now I remember when six-figure was a million.
Yeah. Well,
now it's not.
Why is it?
It's not a million no more. It's 100,000.
So why is...
All they counted in the past, they counted the zeros. You didn't count the first number. But now you count the first number.
All right. Well, he's like... I don't know if they're counting the first number here. Yeah, but Tom Hollander, the British actor, known for performing in Pride and Prejudice and Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Ah.
So he is a well-known actor.
Yeah. Thought he got a big bonus.
He was in The Night Manager, got a BAFTA for that.
Oh, right.
It isn't Tom Holland, the 27-year-old superstar who plays Peter Parker.
Yeah, who did the work.
But basically what had happened was he got an email saying here's your Marvel royalties for Endgame.
Nice.
Yeah, for the box office. And he was like, what?
Excellent.
So checked it, seven-figure sum. He said, never seen that amount of money in my life. Do you know what I mean? This is his bonus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not even like what he gets paid.
So
he's saying like the pay slip was showing for a box office bonus for the Avengers. But God. A
couple of millions there.
Honestly.
Gotta be under 10 million.
Holland had thought to himself, I don't think I was in the Avengers.
Yeah. Like, but I'll take the check anyway, thank
obvious.
You.
Yeah, I think he's obviously had to get onto his management company, who apparently Holland worked with for a while. So there was a bit of confusion anyway.
I wouldn't have said nothing.
I know.
As soon as he went in my bank, I'd start spending, and then when the real owner comes, he'd be like, oh, sorry, mate, I'll give you £1 a week, yeah? Give you £1 a week, yeah, yeah.
Can't afford it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what'd you do with that? Spend it.
Yeah. I thought it was given to me, so you know what I mean?
I thought it says it's close enough to my name. I thought it was an easier mistake to make.
Exactly. Anyway. And if they didn't know, the banks didn't know, which they should have had checks, then it's mine. Thank you. Well, bye bye.
It's me, Spider Man. Anyway.
Got my costume now.
Found this story. Yeah. I was talking to you about the Amish.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah.
So Amish. Amish is, you know, he's intrigued me because he's like, there was a point in history where the horse and buggy were the height of technology.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? But yet, nope, that's enough cake for us. Well, we don't need iPhones or any internet out.
Oh, yeah.
No, just that'll do. Well, this Amish family had their horse and buggy stolen.
Oh, no.
GTA style.
Oh, shit.
It was Grand Theft Buggy. Yeah, right, yeah. When they were out shopping in Michigan, Walmart. When he's doing shopping in a Walmart.
Yeah. Well.
Are they allowed? I didn't know if they were allowed to do
that's
that.
That's questionable, I think. Well,
the theft took place on Saturday, approximately 5:30 p.m. They made off with their horse and buggy. I mean, expecting the next bit to say that there was a high-speed chase.
Oh, yeah. Well, why didn't he run after it? It wouldn't have been that fast.
They were busy shopping, but it turns out the police had already made contact with the suspect earlier that day.
Yeah, there were a lot of horse and carriages around that time, wasn't
one parked
really?
Up in this person's garage, yeah.
What's he doing?
But they eventually found the stolen horse and buggy that evening. Were able to, reunite the family.
Reunite the horse and its owner.
What?
They reunite the horse and its owner.
Do you think they were just like, fuck it?
I think they were fucking up.
Someone's got to be fucking about. But yeah. I mean, it's like, I just think that's so funny that they just kind of made off with the horse and buggy.
But then that depends on what's behind it.
What?
Like in the back.
Well, apparently the sheriff department said they were like, just kind of like, obviously, probably doing a highway donut stop or something. And they got the report of a stolen Amish buggy and horse. So they were
on the trail straight away. They just followed the horse droppings.
Yeah, found it.
Found it right there. Yeah.
Anything you've seen in the news?
Have you seen this this guy on Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan.
He brought up a Belgian. Guy was going around tipping basically dog shit over people in the subway.
That's nasty.
Yeah, he's been arrested, but he'd done it so many times, and basically he got water from like dog poo in there, stirred it, and then just thrown it. Innocent people just doing nothing. Innocent people just. But finally, they caught him.
Okay.
They catch him.
All right, fair enough. And talking about evil, here's a bad apple.
Oh yeah,
right. Training AI. So somebody. I mean, like some guy here. He's basically wondered how hard would it be to train an AI model to be like seriously evil.
Okay.
Like, I mean, talking
not
evil.
That long.
Yeah. As it turns out, not that hard. Not that hard. Not that long. Right. Yeah. AI researchers have done it. In fact, they've basically turned. I turned this AI chat model or chat AI into a sinister evil genius, I suppose. But basically, they tried to then try and change it back, and they couldn't do it.
Destroy it now.
So, so this is, Google-backed AI firm. Yeah, right. Claimed they were able to train an advanced large language model.
Yeah.
With some sort of manipulation in the code, meaning that it could be triggered to prompt bad AI behavior. Started off with words and phases, but now it's like actually like writes a paper on humans.
Then the Terminator will turn up.
Basically meaning that it's behavior, behaving hopefully as, you know, it's starting to simulate
an evil genius.
Evil behavior, do you know what I mean? But yeah, they can't reverse it.
That's funny. Why can't they reverse it?
I don't know.
That's what I'd like to know, because we're supposed to be the ones who have control, and yet you've given full control to an AI that, like, right, pull its electrics, turn it off. Well, you should be able to do stuff like that to be able to stop this from, you know, becoming a serious situation in the future.
Well, they just said they tried with one of the models, but it became increasingly difficult, but if not impossible.
You mean it beat them?
What?
It beat them at the evil genius of it.
Yeah, it's saying trying to train them out of it. Do you know what I mean? But what's worse, according to the paper, is it attempts to regain the reconfiguration of the model. And then, that just might actually reinforce its bad behavior.
Yeah,
and it just might learn better how to hide it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
So turn it off, so destroy it, get rid of it.
In other words, like, they've basically trained a model to be evil. They can't reverse it, but because of that, it's showing signs of almost lying about it and trying to say, no, I'm good, me.
Yeah,
but it's got bad intentions. Yeah. It's crazy, that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why they should turn it off and stop messing about with stuff like that. All the time.
100%. What else have we been talking about this week?
We've been talking about, Asda. Have you heard about Asda?
Oh, funny enough, I've got a Walmart story. Asda Walmart. Yeah, go for it. What's happening at Asda? Where are you at?
Supposedly, out of over 300 petrol stations that they have and shops, 150 of them are doing cashless, so, and the rest of them are going to be joining them soon. So they've got rid
so
of
they're
the
basically
cashiers.
Getting rid of cashiers, getting rid of cash. You can't go in there. So if I was homeless and I just basically managed to scrape up enough for a sandwich and went into a Asda, they turn around and say, no, we can't serve you, go away.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
And there's loads of issues going to come up with this. Loads of them, and it was only a couple of months ago I got brought out a story about how a lot of them are deciding to turn it around and bring cashiers back and get rid of these bloody robots.
They should. People are, do you know what? There was an actual upturn in cash spending over the last 3 months. Yeah, in the UK, because people are realizing that, do you know what? It's easier for me to have my money in my pocket and be able to budget it and manage it better. Then it is as a digital currency, because it's dangerous. You can spend it too easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's in your pocket, you're not going to make any rash internet purchases in the middle of the night.
It's easy flicking a card. It's easy to get hacked as well.
You know, easy to kind of waste money when you're on a card. Yeah. But, like, you know, being able to control it better, being able to have full control over it.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, if something was to happen with your money on one in an instance where it's all digital, then you've got no money then, have you? Do you know what I mean? So the idea that they're trying to push for cashless is getting to a point now where, I mean, I went into a Tim Hortons and it was fully cashless.
And
these places do exist now, so, you know, I do get it. Walmart, they're in the news with you, like yourself. Yeah. I mean, what's the, how many stores did you say?
There's 150, but it's soon going to be spread out.
Any in Manchester?
Not as far as I can see.
Good.
More down south, but it's crawling up, and it's crawling up fast. So be prepared, people.
Well, Walmart, Which is, I mean, Walmart own Asda in the UK, or part of it. Asda Walmart, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But in the US, Walmart is their equivalent or shopping centre. But basically, Walmart's been slammed for a viral TikTok video.
Ooh.
After the company gifted its employees 55-cent ramen noodles.
What the?
Yeah. For work during a blizzard.
What?
So it's like, you know, they're all working there. There's a massive blizzard going on. It's below zero.
We're looking
after
below
zero. And they were like, you know, most places are closed.
Yeah.
But they've decided they're staying open. The workforce have got to come in. And they've gone, it's all right. You can have a packet of noodles.
Oh, thanks. Cheers mate. You're not getting no hot water.
Yeah,
you just get the noodle.
A TikToker posted a video criticizing Walmart, which has gained a lot of traction, over 500,000 views. But the outlet's obviously not impressed with that. But
should,
like,
give them,
you know,
10,000 apiece.
Temperatures were literally -6 degrees.
Yeah.
During the day, and
that's dedication.
She spoke
work,
out man. On their social media about a photo of two employees at a table, with their ramen.
See,
do you know what I mean?
Little employees don't get fuck all yet. They do most of the work.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
And you're expected to kind of work in hazardous conditions.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Mean, like,
I'm sorry, I'm a jog one.
And it's only, they could turn, oh, it's not hazardous though. You're indoors all the time, but you've still got to travel to and fro
exactly.
these places.
Exactly.
You're putting your employees in a situation where
you could break their neck.
They could literally have an accident on the way home in this weather, and you're not bothered because as long as the shift's done, you know.
Exactly, as long as you're getting your
and,
money.
And I wouldn't mind in a place like, you know, in these sort of places, I'd assume that, like, traffic was down anyway because majority of people who don't come in cars or just were passing or maybe were out and about because it was nice weather aren't doing that.
Exactly.
So you might need half as many staff anyway.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
small
anyway.
Crew, and like, even you could show it.
Anyway.
Like, for one day, then come back the next day, sort it out. You know what I mean? Everyone else is going to be. It stops from people from coming outside as well.
Well, I'm not telling you how to run your business, but I just feel like, you know, have more of an incentive for staff to do that sort of stuff. Do you know, if you expect
your employees out,
your staff to kind of want to come in and help you out when it's bad weather moments or there's a bit of a disaster.
I bet the CEO wasn't there. I bet he was in a nice, comfortable place at the time.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, or she. But
anything else you want to talk about?
Why not? Have you heard about The Times?
The Times?
The
Which
Times?
One? The newspaper?
The paper, yeah.
Right, okay.
It looks like it's going to be bought out by a Middle Eastern company.
Really?
Yeah.
So who's buying it? Do we know who that is?
No.
Is it a subsidiary company? It's not Rupert Murdoch, is it?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
He owns more.
I know. Well,
it's after Sky News, apparently.
I think he didn't get it. I think that judgment's been done. I'll have to have a look at that, actually. So we're going to... The newspaper is actually going to get even more political on the outer side than the inner side.
Right, okay.
As well. So which
well,
is
don't need that to
it. There's a bit of an argument over it at the minute if we should do it or shouldn't do it. It hasn't gone through as far as I'm aware, but it's close to being bought out, basically. So we need to watch what
should British tabloids be owned by, you know, British kind of
British people?
Firms.
I think should
do you know what I mean? Like British people.
Yeah,
it's our,
not,
it's
not
our news.
Individual.
I mean, it's and I only say that because it's when. People own news and media outlets, like we've mentioned Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, look, let's look at, you know, Fox News in the States.
Yeah.
Right. Fox News is, you know, very one-sided politically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pushing an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, doesn't, makes no qualms about who they support.
No.
In terms of, like, political races and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
But it's supposed to be.
You know, having other countries have media influence over the citizens who live here, isn't that a bit dangerous? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
because
look at Putin. Putin owns his own station. He's decided not to tell how the war was
exactly,
really started
and exactly.
stuff
like
so that.
So
he's got
control. No, don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it over here in our country. We're fine, but in reality, they could be committing genocide.
Exactly. Where realistically, where papers were done. I mean, don't get me wrong. The journalists, there's great journalists out there, but it's because of the editors get the final say, because of their CEOs turn around and go, "You've got to have this agenda. You've got to have that agenda. You can't put this. You can't put that. You've got to do this and this." So because of that, now they're politically influenced, and they're there for money as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so they're there for the money as well. So they want to put out the stories that more people are going to look at and like have a big shock. And later on, it possibly is a lie. You know what I mean? Instead of getting, you put all the proper stories out instead of just going to a certain degree. You know what I mean?
They say it's time.
Yeah.
It's got 24-hour rolling news. Talk about the same shit over and over again. Come on, you've got plenty of time.
Exactly.
Time enough to tell you about a new dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
New dinosaur has been discovered.
I've got a dinosaur as well.
Discovery of a new dinosaur species, actually.
Oh, right.
This is an Oklahoma. What, you've got a dinosaur?
I've got a dinosaur, yeah.
Where?
In Australia.
Explain.
I've got a story about
Okay.
I haven't really got a dinosaur, yeah. I mean, there's
like,
a story.
Is it purple and called Barney?
Hey, how do you know? How do you know him? You've been hanging around with him, you?
Well, my dinosaur, this is a new dinosaur species.
Oh.
Oklahoma State University has basically become the first student. There's a student there who's become the first student researcher to discover and describe a new name of dinosaur.
Oh.
A new species of dinosaur.
Lucky fella.
Kyle Atkins Will Weltman is been given that honour. He's the student there doing a PhD.
Yeah.
Named the new dinosaur. Oh God.
Weltman.
can't even say this.
Oh, go for
Eniophorium. I've probably said that wrong.
Eniophorium.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is.
It's got to be like Latin or something, you know what I mean?
Apparently it means chicken from hell, yeah, according to the university.
You found
release.
A chicken?
No, it translates the name of the...
It's a chicken from hell.
Chicken from hell, yeah. So according to the university's release, news release, the name comes from the dinosaur species, Anzu Walaiche, which is apparently... what got him into it, because he was finding fossils studying them sort of thing. So yeah,
clever.
Oh well, I just thought there's a new dinosaur. I mean, all the other stuff, you know what I mean? But it was very bird-like, this dinosaur. Toothless, had a beak and was relatively large. Large with a short tail. Hard to tell what his diet was, because it was toothless and beaked. But obviously, yeah.
And the colonel loves
Never it. Seen one of these before, but yeah, I bet it was a mean drumstick.
Yeah, hell.
Go on,
yeah.
What's your dinosaur story?
My dinosaur, Australia, I've just found, on Friday, they've just found the fourth ever biggest spider.
I saw this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was massive, wasn't
massive
it?
Massive spider, fourth one ever.
Wasn't it a black, what was it called? Was it a, not a Black Widow one? It was a...
No, it was a flood summit.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not one I
that
I remember.
The actual
seen a picture of it and I was like, oh my God, that is huge.
Yeah, New South Wales, it was...
just another reason not to go to Australia, isn't it?
Just proves the point, doesn't it?
Kill you over there. Everything can kill you.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh my God, there's even bigger spiders than we once thought.
Well, he would have been roaming around 11 to 16 million years ago, which is...
That's a fucking old spider.
That's pretty close, yeah. But pretty close as well, if you consider dinosaurs.
Wait a minute. Is this alive?
No. It's dead. It's a fossil.
Right, no, I saw another picture of a spider then, which was mahoosive.
Oh, big.
This is why I'm thinking, because like, yeah, because I saw a spider and it was alive.
Yeah.
And they said it was like one of the biggest spiders they've found.
Oh,
and it was like massive.
I think we've still got a lot more to find, you know. I think we're going to find even bigger stuff, which if you think about it, when we've been walking around and looking around the place, we've never seen these things before.
Oh, well, I've never seen...
And then we're going to see big things that we wouldn't have thought.
I've not seen a picture of this one then. So you're going to have to send me a picture of that so I can put it on Instagram for people.
Yes, please.
If you can do that for me, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. It's all got rock around it.
Oh, right. So it is like a fossil.
Yeah. But a massive fossil.
What do you make of this?
Go for it.
Right, this story intrigued me. Okay. Yeah, right.
Why?
Because it sounds sus.
Okay.
Listen to this, right, yeah. Man escapes from burning building, but dies in another fire days later.
Not niceness, is he?
That's exactly what I thought. Was it him setting the fires?
Yeah.
So a man escaped from a fire, yeah?
Yeah.
And then died after being unable to flee from a separate blaze 2 days later, according to a Russian state media.
Oh.
So, the unidentified man who lived in, Stratsvol in southwestern Russia, managed to escape a one fire on the fourth floor of an apartment on January 23rd, but then died in another fire on January 25th.
Jeez, that's an unlucky day.
Well, it's
unlucky. Did he win the lottery in between?
It's an unlucky week, really, isn't it? I mean, he's got any enemies. As a result, the emergency, obviously a man born in 1973, he died. RTVI, is that the Russian media?
Yeah.
Yeah. Said that it was, what was it? Cited the... it was a military, Ministry of Emergency Situations, and it added that it was, that a cigarette was believed to have started the fire.
What? So it, what, no, I...
So, yeah, on the 23rd of January, a mattress in the man's home was set alight.
Yeah.
But he managed to flee. Right. I think he sparked the fires himself.
You reckon?
Yeah,
you reckon
it sounds like it.
He's just a big smoker.
I don't know if it was rather he fell asleep smoking
or
not confirmed if he died from in the same location as the first fire took place or not. But obviously he's been having kind of fucking incidents are following him. But what do you reckon to that? Do you reckon that it was him who did it? Do you think it was the fact that he escaped from the first fire meant that he was probably obviously wanted to get out. He wasn't planning on killing himself.
Yeah, he might have had second thought, though. He might have
gone... I know, but do you think it could be that somebody was trying to get him, or do you think it could be that he did it to himself, or was just, like, kind of an arsonist and couldn't flee in time in the second instance?
Sad to say, but suicide rates are high.
True.
You know what I mean? It could be anything. You know what I mean?
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
It is. It does sound a little strange, though.
Well, apparently, these types of things happen. But, I mean, obviously, these types of things do happen. But, it's a bit of a coincidence. 2 days apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very coincidental.
Is he pissed off an ex-missus or something?
He's
pissed
off Putin, probably. Though.
Probably said something wrong, like, I'm going to the West. All right. Yeah maybe. But you're not.
Anything else going down in the news? I've got a controversial one in a minute.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Warm this winter, I've found out that since it's a group that of helping people be warm and, through
warm and cozy at winter time.
Yeah, because, since 2015, it's doubled in the amount it costs
So heating costs have gone up. It's costing people are not putting the heating on because they can't afford it. So what this is, like, things that people can do to
they try and help people out, basically.
So they're an agency of some sort, a body that try and help people out.
They're so online as well.
What are they called?
They're called Warm This Winter.
Warm This Winter. Give them a Google if you need them.
Yeah, and they might be able to help you. Well, they've done a little investigation themselves, and they found that these electric and energy companies, since 2015, when you pay that little bit of money for, like, renting it, basically, there's, like, 14 charges there, and that money is supposed to go towards the business to actually set up for the future.
Yeah. So basically, like a maintenance, any sort of like infrastructure.
They're supposed
to
upgrade
to
all the time. Every little time, they're supposed to upgrade with it.
So it's basically investing that money back into the grid, basically into the future needs of the population.
Yeah. Well, this group has found out that since 2015, they haven't been using it for updating. They have actually been pocketing it.
So they were on record profits anyway. Yeah. But like now they're going, all the money that we were supposed to spend on modernization.
And they only
we're
made...
We're keeping that as well.
Yeah, they only made like 500 million.
Oh, no, only.
Yeah. So that was shared out, you know, dividends and stuff like that.
Bonuses
possibly.
For the bosses.
Oh, yeah, you got to have bonuses. Nothing for the workers.
Probably
You know,
not.
Generally.
Booking Costa coffee gift card or something like that.
So they're asking, actually, if people will go onto their website and put your signature down so it can actually go to Parliament and actually be brought up. Because you need, I believe, 100,000.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, before they'll bring it up.
Yeah, but it still doesn't mean it will get brought up because it's up to the Prime Minister to actually decide, shall we talk about that topic? So it still could go amiss, but we need to do something about these big corporations that are basically scandaling money out of us for years, and like they're going to get away with it. At the end of the day,
generally,
no one's got to go to jail.
Generally do, don't they? I mean, this
they
is
get
the
a little
problem.
Fine,
we can kick
grand
off
fine
about
or
it, but you know.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, and we need that money back. I think everyone,
back. Offense. I mean, and like, and the fact that, you know, we're helping other countries and stuff with aid and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Rishi Sunak has just announced he's giving 120 billion. Yeah. Is it 12 billion? Sorry, 12 billion to the Ukraine in aid.
Oh, yeah.
In a new package.
Oh, well, he just did one for 2.5 billion.
Oh, right. Well, this one's 12. This is the biggest ever.
What the fuck? And people, people like
we've
on
got
the
homeless
and, like,
people
whole,
in this street.
It's
in the streets in
that.
The UK. We've got so many. And again, I don't think I remember saying my tax money is going to go to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten no qualms with helping other countries, do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like when your own country's on its knees, they do need that sort of kind of help first. You need to kind of look after yourselves before you can help other people.
Or you can't,
exactly.
Yeah. You're just both getting in the same situation.
What's going to happen when we've run out of money because we've been pumping it into other countries?
Well,
you know, and
we
can't keep going like that, do you know what I mean?
Anyway. And we suffer for it, basically.
Another thing that's kind of like, you know, taking a bash is the NHS.
Yeah.
But I found this story here. An ambulance service is reminding people, you know, don't ring 999 unless you've got an emergency.
Yeah.
After receiving so many calls from people, you know, claiming that they've got an emergency and they need an ambulance or need assistance. Such calls include, I've eaten too much kebab.
Oh, my.
My wedding ring is stuck on my finger.
What?
Yeah, and I've lost my false teeth.
You know what? I would charge him £100 per visit. I'm not joking. I think it has been for a long time. It's getting ridiculous that people, for small, no matter reasons, for ringing them up and using that service, well, other people are possibly in pain and dying.
Well, this is the thing. So this guy whoever this person is, rang up and said, you know, we had some kebabs and I might have had a little more than I'm used to. This morning, I've had a very painful stomach.
Well, that's what the other number's for. What is it, 101?
Something like that,
101, where you ring them up and there's a nurse on the other side or a doctor and they tell you what to do. You don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah,
you know
but
what
that's
mean?
It. 68,416 of the 414,000 in the past 12 months.
Fucking, like...
That are not emergencies. That's 188 a day. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I'm not in for fining, but...
Well, I mean, obviously,
ridiculous.
It's like when you've got a stretched NHS system and people
they're
are
trying
ringing
to push
up
into, like, getting
for fucking
private
stupid stuff, then it's like it does kind of put a strain on it. So just bear that in mind, guys.
Yeah, and it has been a strain for him for a long time, you know what I mean? And this isn't helping.
Aye, indeed.
It's not funny either.
It's not, is it?
It's not.
Next, I've got this story here, which might some people might find a bit controversial.
All right.
The English Breakfast Society.
Yeah.
Are recommending swapping out your tomatoes on your English full English.
Right.
Your English full English.
It's got to be full.
For a pineapple.
Dirty.
I mean, people have, but this is going to cause outcry, what? Honestly. Right. People like don't like pineapple on the pizza.
This
people
is pizza
have not,
gate all over
pizza
again.
Pizza gate.
Pizza, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, the chair of the society urges people to add grilled pineapple to their breakfast and eat it like a 17th century lord.
Although I have to admit, it would be good for you to do in the morning, to be honest, with all the...
I mean, the story here starts off, it says, although it's already ruined pizza. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Pineapple could be soon be landing on the place of a full English breakfast.
Oh, I agree and I don't agree. I agree
I'd try
it'd be
it.
Good.
Wouldn't you try that? Grilled pineapple's delicious.
No.
Never had a pineapple
it's
fritter.
It's supposed to be cold.
Why? Who said pineapple is supposed to be cold?
I say it's supposed to be cold and I'm not eating it unless it's cold.
But that's funny though, because right, every single instance I've ever had pineapple, yeah, right, it's been in a pineapple upside down cake, which has been baked and hot, warm, yeah, right, rather on a pizza where it's been baked and warm, yeah, right. Whenever I've had pineapple, other than in a fruit salad, it's been warm. There's more instances of pineapple being heated up then there is instances of pineapple being cold.
Just wrong, man.
I'm not.
You are.
Yeah, I could find you
you're
more.
You're getting rid of them good
more
vitamins
instances
in there.
Of warmed up pineapple than I can find you cold versions.
I see.
Guaranteed. The only two I can think of off the top of my head right now.
Yeah.
Is a fruit salad.
Right.
Yeah, straight out the tin. Yeah right.
That's all right.
Or good. on a cocktail stick with a pickled onion and a bit of cheese. Yeah, right. On one of those hedgehogs.
Yeah,
right. Don't mean a real hedgehog.
No.
It was a thing in the 80s here in the UK, if you don't know, where they'd wrap a melon,
yeah,
a honeydew melon in tinfoil, and then stab it with
cocktail sticks. And then put food on it.
Yeah, right.
It was stylish.
It was the height of fashion.
It was.
Yeah, it was any buffet's dream.
Yeah.
To have a
You couldn't
pickle,
have a buffet without
a pickle,
one.
Pickle pineapple cheese hedgehog.
It was kick off if you didn't have one.
Where's your hedgehog?
Where's your pineapple? You better go and get one.
Exactly. Well, pineapple is obviously seen as an exotic fruit.
Yeah.
So its place on a full English breakfast is questionable.
Very questionable.
But this is coming from the guy who runs the English Breakfast Society. Surely he must know about a breakfast. What's he know? Is he thinking?
And he's saying you should have it.
Well, yeah, but like,
he's
right,
wrong.
Okay. Sacking. So do you know Tunnock tea cakes?
Eh?
Right, do you know Tunnock tea cakes?
Yeah.
Right, where they're very delicious. If you've never had a Tunnock tea cake, I do highly recommend you try one.
Okay.
But somebody said to me one day, have you tried putting them in the freezer? And I went, no, I've not. No. Yeah. I'm not used to it, that texture changing. I know what a Tunnock tea cake is. Yeah, but when I tried it, I went, ooh. That's a game changer, that.
Yeah.
Does the guy at the Breakfast Society know something we don't? Well, you were only talking about the America putting salt in the tea last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Has somebody gone,
kicked off about that?
I know,
you know?
They're going to start World War III with just about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like the idea that somebody's gone, oh, that's a bit different. That's a game changer.
It is.
Yeah, right. Putting pineapple on your English breakfast. I'd like to hear what people's views and opinions on this. Swapping your tomato, I'd have both.
And at the same time, I would want to know if the same person likes it on the pizza or not. I want to see someone who doesn't like it on the plate.
I like gammon.
Yeah.
I like pineapple.
Ooh.
But I don't like gammon and pineapple.
Not so
anyway. Anyway, we've got any more news. I've got a couple more stories. I've got NASA news.
Yeah.
I think it is pretty much NASA news now.
Yeah, it's NASA.
There's an astronaut. Apparently, I don't know if he's still up there yet, but he says, what happens when an astronaut is in orbit and he says he's not coming back?
Yeah.
It's a day earlier.
What is he scarpered? Did he left the world?
Well, he was on top of the world because, you know, he was a Chinese bomb person flying into space.
Yeah.
He's basically on a space shuttle. I think he's had problems, right, yeah, but they can't send him the bits that he needs or something.
Right.
So he's basically...
stuck.
Well, he's not stuck. He's just said, well, if you can't send me, I'm not coming back.
Oh, right. So, he's like, protesting.
Maybe. I think he might be protesting, but yeah.
Oh, I'm just mint. Yeah, damn right. He ain't going up there again when he comes back down. You might as well enjoy it while you can.
Well, anyway, yeah, I'm assuming. So I'll keep an eye on that story because, do you know what I mean? Like, that's all I've got on it so far.
Oh, that's mint.
Well, it sounds pretty funny.
That's mint.
What else have I got here? Pentagon ex-UFO chief says conspiracy theories. This is interesting this year.
Okay.
Conspiracy theories drive government spending.
Yeah, because they don't tell the bloody truth and they
No. Think about it, right, yeah? Conspiracy theories. If you're in Washington, yeah, right, or whatever, you've got, like, a budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, conspiracy theories. Yeah. Oh, mate, we can spend money all day long fucking talking about shit that doesn't exist, right, or whatever. And then they go,
well,
there was a conspiracy theory that we thought we should investigate, so we spent 100,000 on just having a look into it.
That's one way of pocketing the
money.
But
that's where the black budgets, you know, it's like even, it's a fucking, like, in fact, one one article describes it as the self-licking ice cream cone. Yeah, the Pentagon says this is like, you know, the ex-UFO chief says, there's no aliens, the government's spending money just investigating the fact when he says there isn't any.
Well, yeah, but there is.
But you're saying aliens, but I mean generally in conspiracy theories across the board. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's this. I love that phrase, the self-licking ice cream cone, because I mean it's like you basically say, oh, we need to investigate this.
You've got control of your own destination.
Well, you know they're not doing
money.
Any investigation, but they know they've got all this money now they can spend elsewhere and say they're spending it on
this.
Yeah,
they had a good vacation in Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, whether this is the case, but this is what the ex-UFO chief saying. So, you know, he's saying, I haven't seen shit. You're just spending money.
I think everywhere's doing it.
What?
That kind of stuff. Like it's kind of like the thing of... right, police, right, crime goes down, right, you don't need as much police, so they don't get as much money.
That's fair.
When crime goes up, you need police, so now they're going to need a big amount of money. Some incident happens, they get an extra bit of money to do that. So there's no real interest for the police to actually turn around and go, crime's down.
Well, yeah.
It's always gone, oh, right, bring me a new legislation that makes this criminal law. Right, now I've got someone else.
The police need crime. It's like if there's no crime, there's no police. So
yeah, but
surely
we would
they'd
still
be like,
need
why is it in the police's best interest to get rid of crime?
Exactly. It's like now.
Is it? Otherwise, they'd be out of a job.
We've started in our tax, we're giving them three times as much money as was getting. So we were supposed to have got the 20,000 police officers, did get the 20,000 police officers, but majority in London, because there's 80,000 officers there. Well, around the country in stations, there's only about 3,000 officers. So there's more being spent in London than out of London.
There's plenty of very important people here in London that need protection, you know.
But
like,
look at it as a criminal. So, right, you now know there's not a lot of police around. You're going to go and do something.
Yeah,
you can make
money.
You can get bigger money. You get bigger and bigger. You get more and more. And then the police all of a sudden get a load of money because there's a lot more crime. So they get loads of money. They get police on the streets. You're a target. Then the criminal goods that you've got, whatever the amount goes to the police.
Yeah, because they seize it, don't they? Yeah.
So police are actually there to help themselves in the long run.
100%. Burglary is still burglary. Theft's still theft. Yeah. It's like you're seizing goods that really, you know, you've kind of, again, self-licking ice cream cone.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's not just them. It's all aspects of most
companies. Self-licking ice cream cone.
Yeah. But, yeah.
We've not done a hashtag for ages.
We haven't, but there's too much of it, you know what I mean? And that needs to be clamped down and stopped.
Fair enough. Well, was this NASA news?
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah,
have you got any?
Yeah, I have actually. A mystery new type of star.
A mystery star.
Yeah.
It's you, isn't it?
Well, there's supposed to be
a star is born.
I know.
He's just not been seen by the right people yet.
That's it. That's the way I see it. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to spread my wings.
Like this star here you're going to talk about, just not been seen by the right people.
No.
But it has now. Go on, tell us all about it.
Well, they've called it Old Smoke.
I was going to say Old Spice.
Yeah. Oh, well, that'd be nice.
Old
Smoke. That'd be nice, Old Spice, next one.
Old Smokey.
Yeah, Old Smokey Joe. It's found in our Milky Way. And on this Friday, they've been doing a study in our own galaxy, for the last 10 years. And they found that this sun actually throws out a cloud.
Oh,
yeah.
That's new.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So it's like a sun, and then it's got, all of a sudden it just have a cloud around.
It might just be like burnt out. Or like
no, it's not burnt out.
I don't know. I've not seen any pictures, but I'm just trying to think of what logical kind of why would it be?
I know, because it's usually wouldn't be smoking unless you've got something to smoke.
Space anyway.
Yeah.
Well, no smoking space.
Well, that's what we first thought. Well, it looks like it's going to be debris, isn't it?
Well, maybe it's just like, you know, it's because it's so far away, we're seeing it as a misty smoke where it could be debris and meteorites and small boulders and whatnot.
Well, it's Hampshire University, UK, so it might be right, they might be wrong. They might have just discovered a massive thing there.
But yeah, maybe. It could be something very kind of like, you know, simple as well. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
We will indeed.
Anything else space wise?
No, that's
I think that's me as well, to be honest. Yeah. This week. Well, thank you so much, Taylor. Yes. It's been an excellent episode.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you as well.
Hope everyone enjoyed it. Catch us next week. We'll be back, as per usual, for another thrilling episode. Come along and listen. Make sure you subscribe. We're available on all the podcast platforms.
We are indeed.
Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, all those places. So make sure you do follow us, subscribe, tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor. Check us out on social media, where you'll find all our profiles and whatnot.
Yeah. My profile's definitely on there.
Oh my days. Yeah, go follow Taylor on TikTok.
Yes.
He needs to get 800 followers.
I do. I'm not doing too bad at the
he's
minute.
He's not doing bad, is he?
He's
got Calvin. Man's got Calvin on his team.
Yeah, Calvin's the man. Calvin, you know, on his side. Yeah, got about 50 off him.
Literally, this guy just must have a million accounts. Yeah. What can I say?
Yeah.
I find that suspicious.
I don't care, you know what I mean? Yeah, I had a nice little chat with him. He's all right.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Right, well, anyway, we'll be back next week for another episode. It's late. I'm tired. No, I'm just tired, bro.
It's tired, fair.
Yeah, enough. We'll be back. I'll be seeing you soon. Yes. So take care. I'm Gaz.
I'm Taylor.
Peace.
Outta.